ترك الوالدان والأقربون، وللنساء نصيب مما ترك الوالدان والأقربون مما قل منه أو كثر نصيبا مفروضا. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with such a beautiful deen that encompasses every aspect of life. We find in the toilet we have guidelines. In the bedroom there's guidelines. A person is spending the night with his wife, there's guidelines. A person is traveling, guidelines. Every aspect of our deen has been covered. When a person dies also, there are guidelines also governing what should be done with his wealth. So when a person passes away, there are certain things that become compulsory. It is necessary, compulsory now to bathe him, to shroud him. It's his right. You have to perform his janazah salah. You have to bury him. So just as we understand the necessity of these acts, then it is equally necessary for the family to ensure, it is compulsory to ensure is distributed according to the Islamic law of succession. And if a person doesn't do so, that will be taken unlawfully, will become absolutely haram. And a person will be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. And if the deceased had any role to play in that, by leaving such a will, which leaves instructions that are endorsed now by a kafir court, for example, if he had it endorsed by the South African law, and he left a will that enforces that his estate must be distributed against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will be in his qabr, but he will be tasting the retribution, and he will be tasting the chastisement and punishment for making that decision. Allah ta'ala save us and protect us. Even if that was the condition, then common sense and taqwa should prevail, that the siblings and those that have a right in that estate should make the decision that we are not going to allow this, we will distribute it according to Islamic law. There are many things and many aspects that can be discussed. We know for a fact that wealth is a great test. And because of this wealth, there are major family feuds, fights that take place. It's not a secret. So something like the estate cannot be left in the air, that no, someone will take care of it. Every person must ensure that before I leave the world, even if I have a 10 rand, that I am covered in the akhirat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I made a statement, I drew up a will, and I gave clear guidelines in that will that this is how I want my will and my estate, this is how I want my estate to be distributed. Have witnesses so that in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am free. Afterwards, someone did something wrong, I left clear instructions. So it has happened in the past where one sibling had overpowered the others and usurped their rights. It has also happened that sometimes a dominant male in the family dominated, came on the scene and usurped the rights. Sometimes it happens that very close to the person passing away, then someone influenced, some family member influenced the deceased to make the will in a certain way. Sometimes there's fraud involved also. And what takes place? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فِتْنَةٌ وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي الْمَالِ. Every nation had a test. The test of my nation is wealth. And لَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. I don't fear poverty for you. I fear Allah Ta'ala giving you wealth. Because with wealth, there's a lot of responsibilities that come. During one's lifetime and after one has passed away, then there's a lot of responsibilities. And our ulama have found in the recent past, there has been a lot of ignorance in the matter of wills and estates, number one. And number two is that there was no urgency in many people to draw up a will. So they found the need for such programs where the aspect of drawing up a will and explaining a few laws from the Quran and Hadith regarding wealth, so that this concern can enter the heart and people can start drawing up their wealth. Many people are traveling far and abroad, and they don't even think, there's a traveler's wealth also, they don't even think that something can happen to me. I'm going for Umrah and I can pass away. I can pass away on the plane. I can pass away by accident. How many ways, how many things can happen? Just the other day, in passing, someone was saying that people were playing soccer and they just fell dead. Someone was playing tennis and they fell dead. Someone was playing paddle and they fell dead. Someone was as fit as a fiddle and they just fell dead. So what guarantee do we have? We don't have any guarantee. So how important it is for us. Sometimes we're thinking, I'll get a sign, you know, then I'll sort all these matters out. And then we'll be in the qabr, and then we'll be regretting, and we'll have to taste the consequences. Allah save us, Allah protect us. So we find that in the Quran and Majid, in Surah Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly spelled out the laws of inheritance. Allah has made it very, very clear. It's one of those rukus that the hufaz, they get a bit tied up with. يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيْنِ. So they get a bit tied up with it, because those are the laws of inheritance. Allah is giving different scenarios. When there will be thuluth, when there will be sudus, when there will be one-third, when there will be one-sixth. So all that in detail. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, like Allah ta'ala said, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, perform salah. Allah ta'ala doesn't tell you how many salahs in the day, how many rakats. All that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. But when it came to the distribution, Allah ta'ala didn't say, distribute your wealth according to the Islamic law, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have elucidated and explained. Here Allah ta'ala took it upon himself to elaborate so that there could be no ambiguity. Nobody could come afterwards and chop and change and misinterpret. Allah ta'ala spelt it out, Allah made it very, very clear that in any part of the world, Quran is one. And the Quran says, in this situation, it will be one-third. In that situation, there will be one-sixth. In this situation, what it will be. And the general rule, لِذَّكْرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيْنِ, that the girls will get half of what the man gets. SubhanAllah, on this note, we find an ishkal, an objection, had cropped up, you know, by the modernists. So today we got this problem of gender equality. You know, they want to be equal. So why does the man get double the woman? You know, there's a whole fight now happening that the woman's salary is less than the man's salary, but the qualification is the same. So why are they being treated like that? So they apply the same thing now to the Quran and Majid. So why does the man get double and the woman gets half? So this is unfair and this is unjust. So the beautiful answer is that we have to understand the Islamic system to be able to understand this. You have to understand the Islamic system to be able to understand this. For example, something that comes to my mind. See, the husband and wife, so they go to, for example, they're visiting the in-laws. So the wife's parents, husband is visiting. So the father-in-law may be a very wealthy person. So he gives the wife, he says, right, here's a 10,000 rand for you. And for his son-in-law, his daughter gave 10,000, he gave his son-in-law. Gave him 10,000 rand. Say it's for you. So now, it's understood. The man's responsibility, he's not only thinking for himself. A man, when he's going to fill fuel in his car, he's not filling only for himself. He's filling for everybody's benefit. When he's buying food for the house, he's not buying only for himself, he's buying for the whole house. When he's paying the light bill and the water bill, he's not paying only for himself, So that is a man. It's like understood. It comes, it's his nature. But the woman, her 10,000 rand, she's going shopping. That shoes is for herself. She's buying one handbag is for herself. She's buying some clothing, piece of clothing. It's understood that she's not expected to pay his fuel bill. She's not expected to pay the light bill. She's not expected to put food in the house. It's understood in our society, in the Islamic system. That's how it is. So, have we understood it there? So here also, understand it like that the man's responsibility is much more. He's seeing to the children. He's seeing sometimes to his parents. And he's seeing to the wife also. And it's her right that he provides for her food, shelter. He provides clothing for her. It's her right he provides. So this is spending money. So she's getting half because that is pure spending money for her. And he's getting double because he got so many other responsibilities also. And she's also included. He's going to be spending on her. That money is also going to be spending on her. So the beauty of Quran and Majid, لِذَكَرِي مِثْلُ حَذِّ الْأُنْثَيْنِ. Allah Ta'ala gives so many men the responsibility to take care of her before she has to take care of herself. The last resort is when a woman has to take care of her own self. But before that, husband. If husband is not around, then there's a hierarchy. Father, brother, uncles, all these people, nobody is taking care of her. Then she is forced to go and work and earn her own salary. But before that, all the men first. That's the Islamic system. Nevertheless, so it's compulsory, as we said, to wind up the estate, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لِرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ. What the parents leave behind and what the family relatives leave behind, then the men will have a share of that and the woman will also have a share of that. So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule. Now the beauty of Quran separated woman and men. لِرِجَالِ وَلِلنِّسَى. Why? Because it was common in the past to oppress the woman. In the Arabs, among the Arabs, the male, the dominant male would take it. It was an animal quality. He would take it away. And the children won't get anything, and the woman won't get anything. And that is why we find there's a hadith here of an incident that had taken place. It was during the Battle of Uhud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed the verses on account of an incident that took place. Now what was that incident? Jabir radiallahu anhu says, a woman came with her two daughters. She was the wife of Sa'd bin Rabi'. And she said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the two daughters of Sa'd bin Rabi'. Their father has been killed. He was made a shaheed on the day of Uhud. And now the uncle of these two daughters, the uncle of them, he took all the wealth, their father's wealth, and he didn't give them anything, he never leave any wealth for them. And I can't get them married, they need money to get married. How are they going to get married now? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَقْضِ اللَّهُ فِي ذَلِكَ. Allah Ta'ala will decide in this matter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the laws of inheritance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the uncle and he said, أَعْطِي لِإِبْنَتَي سَعْدٍ الثُّلُثَيْنِ. Allah Ta'ala has passed the law that the two daughters of Sa'd bin Rabi will get two-thirds of the estate and the mother will get one-eighth of the estate. And only what remains after that, that is what is due to you. You can't take more than that. See, the laws of inheritance are quite easy when there's a father of the deceased alive or when there's the son of the deceased alive. Then it's very simple. Very, very simple. It becomes complicated when these two men are not there, the son and the father. Then now you have to see what the laws say, where it goes, with the brother and who is alive and where else can it go. So then it becomes complicated. But whenever there's a son in the laws of inheritance or there's a father, then remember it's going to be very, very easy to distribute that estate. From the Quran and Majid, very, very simple. But when they are not found, then generally you will need to go to a mufti, because they will see who is next in line after these male figures. Now remember, when there are children and orphans that are involved in the estate, then the estate becomes even more complicated. Because you can't just deal in that estate as you will, and you can't take their permission too. If there's all adults, we can mutually agree. We all are shareholders. We can agree on certain things. But when you have orphans and you have children, minors, then their permission doesn't hold. And so it becomes very, very difficult. There is a need now to be even more particular, because if you are consuming the wealth and just doing your own thing and thinking nothing of it, then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. You are eating fire and putting fire in your bellies. What that means? That the fire of Jahannam is going to get you. وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. That is what Allah Ta'ala says, that the fire, blazing fire of Jahannam, they will enter. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدَخِلُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And Allah says this again, that whoever disobeys, that means moves away from the Islamic system of distribution, whoever disobeys Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and exceeds the limits, Allah will put him in the fire of Jahannam to remain therein forever. And for him is a disgraceful punishment. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Look, we understand that certain things have to go through the system, the law of winding the estates, etc. So one is not responsible for those procedures, whether it involves property, whatever, and you can't really do much until that is sorted out. So no problem. But whatever is, like for example, jewelry, cash flow, goods, vehicles, whatever is not bound, so to say, to that estate. So then in that case, one should ensure that those items are taken care of. Those are sorted out. Whatever is not in our power, for example, a property, now we're waiting for those things to go through, whatever. Now the rental, for example, for that property, after all the expenses, that rental must be distributed among all the inheritors according to that law. And if all of them are adult and they agree that no, just put it in a trust fund, put it away until such a time when we need it, then we will take our share from there. Or until such a time that everything is sorted out, then we just get that whole lump sum and we sell the building or whatever it is, whatever needs to be done, then that is fine. But this all has to be kept in mind and understood well. Sometimes it gets very, very complicated when people leave these things for years. Why? One inheritor was supposed to inherit, he passes away. So now it's going to go to his. So whatever is left in the air, so to say now, has to still be sorted out and go to his inheritors. Then someone from there passes away. And so it becomes very, very complicated to work out. It becomes a very, very lengthy and long drawn affair. Someone was just mentioning to me that they got a parcel of money, an inheritance that came from Malawi. I said, Subhanallah. And he was explaining to me how that whole thing went on and on, and eventually it took so long, and then it eventually got sorted out. So the ulama say that immediately when a person passes away, from that point in time, the estate must be drawn up. Everything, the moment he passes away, switches from his ownership to the ownership of the inheritors, immediately. That is why they say one pious person, he was present when someone was going to pass away. And the moment the person passed away, there was a lamp burning, he switched off the lamp. It became dark. So people told him, what are you doing? He said, see, that oil that is burning is no more his. It belongs to all the inheritors now. We can't use that oil in that lamp without their permission. So how far his sight was. So anyway, we'll conclude now, inshallah. We don't want to make it too lengthy, but we'll just mention one or two aspects. We'll continue, inshallah, next week. The second aspect is regarding drawing up an Islamic will. And this is an important hadith. Adimna Umar radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haqqum mir'im muslimin lahu shay'un yusabi fihi yabitu laylatayni illa wa wasiyyatun maktubatun indahu. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not permissible for any Muslim who has something to bequeath to stay for 2 nights without his last will written and kept ready with him. So you mustn't allow 2 nights. If you have any assets, person got a car, for example, a freehold vehicle, even if it's a 20,000 rand car, but it's 20,000 rand, it's got some value, it's got some jewelry, got something. They say your clothing is an asset also. It can be used. So you have to leave some will. We are very fortunate in our country. We got like Darul Ihsan, we got the Jamiats. You just go in there and they'll give you the will and they'll help you and they'll do it for you and you make an appointment and you get done, inshallah. So that is what we need to do. You need to have an Islamic will in a non-Muslim country. It's important because it will prevent the state from taking over and distributing it according to their laws, the laws of the land. And I don't know, yeah, in some places, maybe if they don't find inheritors, whatever, they'll take that wealth, they'll take it away. The traveler's will we spoke about, when traveling, one should carry a traveler's will in the case that he passes away. And then that country that he is in can't just take hold of his assets. And sample wills are available. It's even for sale for a few rands. So people can even download from the Jamiat website free of charge. And you just fill in the blanks. It's not necessary to go to attorneys and pay exorbitant amounts of money to have the will drawn up. So at least we take home today the importance of this. And secondly, we might not know all the rules and regulations, but at least we write it down, that I'm handing over this affair to, the example, the Jamia, Darul Ihsan, whoever we're comfortable with, Mufti Zubair, for example. I would like so and so to handle the Islamic law when it comes to this. And get it signed there, get it witnesses. Maybe they have lawyers. I know the Jamia got that advocate Imran Vauda is on the board. So get it signed by them, get it drawn up. So by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are covered. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to do what is correct.